Well, good morning. My name is Stephen. I'm one of the pastors here at First Free, and I'm really glad that you're here. Let me start with a question. Have you ever, talked to someone who heard you, but they didn't really hear you? You know, you said the words, they nodded along, but their eyes glazed over, their minds went elsewhere, and all of a sudden, you're getting to the best part, and they're like, wait, what was that? What were you saying? Maybe you gave advice that was ignored. Maybe you shared something personal, only to see it brushed off. We've all been there. And the truth is, if we're honest, we've all been that person, haven't we? We heard the words, but we didn't really hear. In college, I had a professor whose voice could put a Red Bull to sleep. I sat through every lecture. I took pages of notes. But I have no idea what he said. I heard it, but I didn't receive it. Jesus says that's exactly what can happen when we open God's Word, when we deal with God's Word. You can show up, open your Bible, listen to the sermon, and still not hear. What does it really mean to listen? That's exactly the question Jesus wants us to ask in the parable that we're exploring today. Today is the kickoff of a new 10-week sermon series called Seeing the Kingdom, Parables in Luke. Each week we're going to explore one of the stories that Jesus told, stories that are not just clever illustrations, they're kingdom-revealing truth bombs. These parables, they don't just inform us, they confront us, they shape us, they invite us to live differently under the reign of Jesus. They're simple on the surface, but deep enough to change your life if you're really listening. And so what better way to start than with a story about how we hear? And this also happens to be the start of Missions Month, 4 weeks in June where we focus on what God is doing around the world and how we can be a part of it. And here's the connection. Before we go running off to plant seeds in other places, we've got to stop and ask, what kind of soil are we dealing with right here in our own hearts? Are we actually listening to what God is saying to us? The mission starts in the heart. Before the word can be sown in the world, it must be sown deeply in us. So in Luke 8, Jesus tells a story, and it's not flashy. There's no dramatic healings, no walking on water, no fire from heaven, just a guy with a bag of seed and some dirt. And yet, this simple parable shows us why some people grow in the faith, why some fall away, and why some never seem to change at all. It's familiar, ordinary, but it's more than a lesson on agriculture. It's a mirror for our souls. The seed is the same, the sower is generous, but the results vary wildly. Why? Well, because of the soil. Jesus ends with this call, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, pay attention. Don't just hear the word, receive it, let it take root. So today, we'll walk through this parable together and Jesus' own explanation of it to ask the question, how do you hear the word of God? And more specifically, what kind of soil is your heart? So if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? We're in Luke chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, then Luke. If you've reached John, you've gone a little too far. And if you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 864. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded a hundredfold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, let's pick up in verse 4 with the parable told. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to see him, he said in a parable. All right, so picture this. Jesus has a massive crowd pressing in, people coming from all over. Some that are curious, some that are hopeful, some that are just here because their friend said, you know, you got to check this guy out. And with the crowd gathered, Jesus steps up and he tells a story about farming. Which, let's be honest, this is kind of unexpected. If you've ever wanted a big moment to land, maybe a keynote speech or, you know, a championship halftime pep talk, this isn't exactly a hype builder. But Jesus isn't trying to impress the crowd, is he? He's trying to sift it. He's not looking for applause. He's looking for ears that actually hear. And so in verse 5, we get a sower went out to sow his seed. At the heart of this story is a surprising kind of generosity. The sower doesn't carefully place seed only in the best spots. He throws it broadly, even recklessly, across all types of grounds, hardened paths, shallow rock, thorny weeds, and fertile soil. Jesus is showing us something about the nature of God's word and the heart of God himself. The word is sown generously. The sower represents anyone who shares the word of God and ultimately God himself. The seed is the message of the kingdom. We just read it, what Jesus calls the word of God in verse 11. And the way the seed is sown tells us something important. God is not stingy with his word. He spreads it broadly, inviting everyone to hear. No one is excluded from hearing the message. And this is good news, but it also raises the tension. If the word is the same and the sower is faithful, why do the results vary so widely? That's the power of the parable. The difference isn't in the seed or the sower. It's in the soil. Jesus describes four types of ground and then quickly moves to the results. The path in verse 5, birds eat it. The rocky soil in verse 6, it springs up fast but withers in the sun. The thorny ground in verse 7, it's choked out. But the good soil in verse 8, in jackpot, it's a hundredfold harvest. Each represents a different way that people respond when they hear the word of God. And Jesus wants us to see ourselves in the story. He's not just describing a crowd, he's describing us. What kind of soil are you? Now, if you've done any gardening or tried keeping a houseplant alive, you know a hundredfold is wildly successful. You don't get that growth on accident. At least I don't. This is miracle level multiplication. But then Jesus ends with this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear in verse 8. In other words, this is more than just a farming tip. Pay close attention. So what's going on here? Jesus is giving us a picture of how the word of God works. It's the same message going out to everyone. The seed is good, the sower is generous, but not everyone responds in the same way. Why? Because of the soil. The condition of the heart makes all the difference. And here's the catch. Jesus doesn't explain any of this, at least not right away. They come to Jesus and he kind of leaves the story hanging in the air like a riddle. It's like a test. Who will lean in? Who will ask for more? And that's exactly what the disciples do. They don't just walk away nodding. They come to Jesus and they say, what does this mean? And in his answer, Jesus shows us something profound about how the truth works. So let's now look at verses 9 and 10. where Jesus shows us why he uses parables, the purpose of parables, to expose the heart. Now remember, at this point, the disciples are curious. They've just heard the story like everyone else, but they're not content to walk away without understanding. So they come to Jesus and ask, what does this mean? And here Jesus reveals something profound. Understanding the truth is not just about intelligence or effort. It's about spiritual revelation. Parables reveal and conceal. Parables are like a spiritual litmus test. They reveal the condition of your heart. They're like an X-ray showing what's inside. When Jesus tells a parable, he's not just handing out information. He's testing whether we'll seek understanding or settle for confusion. Right? Look at verses 9 and 10. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not hear, and hearing they may not understand." And this might sound confusing at first. Like, wait, is Jesus trying not to be clear? Is he hiding the truth? But notice the difference between the crowd and the disciples. The crowd heard the parable, but only the disciples asked about it. That's the difference Jesus is highlighting. The parables are like filters. They reveal who's hungry for the truth and who's just looking for a good story. Jesus says essentially that the secrets of the kingdom, they're not for the casually curious. They're revealed to the spiritually hungry. He's talking about those who are truly his disciples, those who follow him, listen to him, and seek to understand him. To them, the secrets of the kingdom are made clear. The parables become windows into spiritual truth. But for others, the ones content to remain at the surface, to be part of the crowd but not followers, Jesus says something striking. They are in parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. That's a quote from Isaiah 6, a moment where the prophet is called to preach even though many won't understand. The word goes out, but it doesn't land on everyone the same way. Why? Because not everyone is listening with open hearts. And Jesus is saying something similar here. The parables divide. They sift hearts. For the hungry, they invite deeper faith. But for the prideful or the indifferent, they confirm spiritual blindness. If you're married, you've probably been accused of selective hearing. My wife, Dani, says something really important and I nod very attentively, and then later I realize I have no idea what she was talking about. Or how about kids? You whisper ice cream and they hear it from across the house, but the moment you ask them to do their chores, all of a sudden they've lost the ability to hear English. Jesus is saying, people hear his words, but only some are really listening. This is a call to lean in. This moment isn't just about Jesus' disciples. It's about us. The parables are an invitation, but they're not automatic. You can hear them with your ears and miss them with your heart. And that's why Jesus begins and ends this parable with the same challenge. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This isn't passive listening. It's active, humble, hungry listening. It's the posture of a heart that comes to Jesus and says, Lord, help me understand. Speak, and I will follow. Let's bring it to today. You can come to church and not really come to Jesus. You can hear 100 sermons and still not let the word take root. So let me ask you, are you leaning in to hear what God is saying? Do you approach God's word with a teachable heart? Or is it more like a box to check? Are you willing to follow the truth wherever it leads, even when it's uncomfortable? Understanding the word, it's not just about the mind, it's about the heart, and only those who truly want to hear will receive what Jesus offers. God's truth is not for the clever. It's for the humble, and that's good news because it means you don't need a seminary degree or a perfect track record to understand what God is saying. You just need ears to hear. and a heart that wants to listen. Jesus isn't trying to confuse people. He's inviting them to lean in. And so the disciples, they lean in. And Jesus answers. And in verses 11 to 15, Jesus graciously explains the parable to his disciples. And he walks them through the meaning of the parable, one soil at a time. And in doing so, he invites all of us to examine the condition of our hearts. He shows us what each parable means and each soil means, and he exposes the conditions of our heart. Now, many pastors would preach a sermon for each of these soils, four sermons, and as tempting as that is, today we'll walk through with Jesus through these four soils, and we'll ask, what kind of heart do I have toward God's word? So first, with the meaning of the parable, in verse 11, Jesus finally pulls back the curtain. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So, all right, no surprises there. The seed is the message of the kingdom, the gospel, God's word going out. Same seed, same message. The difference is the soil. And remember, that's us. So let's look at each soil. First, the path, a hard heart, in verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. This is the heart that is hard and unreceptive. The word hits the surface, but it never sinks in. It's like seed on a well-worn path. It gets trampled or eaten before it can take root. Maybe they've been wounded, jaded, or just flat out uninterested. This might be the person who hears the gospel often. Maybe they grew up in the church, but it's become callous to them. Nothing gets through anymore. They've sat through dozens of sermons, but it all just sounds like background noise. And Jesus says, this isn't just a psychological problem. It's a spiritual battle. Jesus' point in this parable is stunning. Satan himself has a vested interest in how you hear or don't hear the word of God. Let that sink in. The devil is not passive about preaching. Jesus is telling us that every time the word of God is proclaimed, a spiritual battle is taking place. You may not see it, but it's happening in this very room right now. Satan is working to snatch away the word before it can take root in your heart, and he doesn't want you to hear it. And if you do hear it, he doesn't want you to believe it. And if you do believe it, he'll do everything in his power to make sure it doesn't stick. And here's what's chilling. Jesus says Satan is behind all of it. He doesn't just want to keep you from sinning. He wants to keep you from seeing. Seeing your Savior. Seeing your sin. Seeing your desperate need for grace. That's why when you come into this room to hear the Word of God, you are stepping onto a battlefield. That's not drama. That's Bible. And the enemy would love nothing more than for you to walk out of here unchanged, distracted, offended, entertained, inspired even, but not transformed, not truly broken, not truly awakened. You know what Satan hates? He hates it when you hear a sermon and say, that was for me. I'll never forget, I once said to a friend after church, we're driving home, boy, they needed to hear that sermon today. The look of terror on his face said it all. He stopped looking at the road. He was driving. Immediately, I thought, can I just take that back? At that moment, I realized I had completely missed the point. I had weaponized the word instead of receiving it, and Satan was happy to let me do that. Friends, Satan wants you to hear the word through the lens of everyone else's sin so you never face your own sin. So here's the question. When you walk into church, how do you come? Prepared? Prayerful? Hungry? Or just plop down, hoping for the best? Because you don't just need a motivational talk. You don't need clever outlines or clever stories. You need the living Word of God. You need it like food, like breath, like life itself. Charles Spurgeon once said, Mr. Whitfield and Mr. Wesley may preach the gospel better than I do, but they cannot preach a better gospel. That's true of us too. We may not preach the gospel better than someone else, but you won't hear a better gospel than this. Jesus Christ crucified for sinners and risen for sinners like you and like me. So let me ask you again, how are you hearing the word of God? Second, the rock, a shallow heart, verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. This heart is quick to respond, emotional, enthusiastic, immediate, but it lacks depth. There's no root system to sustain the growth when the heat comes. This person hears the word and they say, yes, Jesus is awesome. Amen. PTL. Praise the Lord. Hashtag blessed. But then life gets hard, doesn't it? Faith gets costly. The emotional high wears off and they realize Christianity has a cost. It's following a crucified Savior. And when the pressure comes, they realize their roots were never that deep. Jesus says that as soon as trials or difficulties arise, when following Jesus becomes costly, this heart withers. The joy was real, but it wasn't rooted in genuine surrender. Joy isn't the problem. Shallow joy is. And this is the danger of surface-level Christianity. This person might seem alive, but the roots were never deep enough to survive real life. There's a warning here. A quick start is not the same as a lasting faith. And so, are you building deep roots that can weather testing? Third, the thorns, a divided heart, verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. This heart welcomes the word, but never gives it full authority, right? It's crowded, it's distracted, it's divided. The soil may look fertile, but it's already filled with a bunch of weeds, and Jesus gives us the culprits. He names them. Cares, the anxiety of life. Riches, the pursuit of more. Pleasures, the idol of comfort. This one hits close to home for a lot of us, doesn't it? These people hear the word, but it has to compete with a dozen other voices. Career ambitions, financial anxiety, streaming cues, youth sports schedules, that new Amazon cart that you forgot to check out. And it's not outright rejection, but it's crowding. The seed starts to grow, but it gets suffocated by everything else. This is the heart that wants Jesus and control. Jesus and comfort, Jesus and the American dream. There's a warning here. You can't follow Jesus while chasing everything else. So what weeds are crowding out the word in your life right now? Fourth, the good soil, a receptive heart, verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Here's the goal, right? Here's the hope. This person hears the word, holds on to it, lets it sink in, and over time they bear fruit. And it's not instant, it's not flashy, but it's real, and it lasts. This is the heart that receives the word, holds it tightly, and lets it go deep. It's marked by three things here. Honest and good heart, right? Humility, sincerity, and openness to God. Holding the word fast, not letting it slip away when it's tested. Bearing fruit with patience. Patience, not perfection. Patience, long obedience, slow growth. Real change. This is the kind of hearing that produces transformation. It's not flashy, it's not instant, but it's patient, enduring, and steady. The fruit may not show up in 24 hours, but if the word is planted deep, it will come. The Christian life isn't instant. It's slow, surrendered. It's spirit-fed. So let's recap the four soils. Hard hearts resist. Shallow hearts fall away. Divided hearts get crowded out, but receptive hearts bear fruit. Jesus isn't just describing four types of people out there. He's holding up a mirror to each of us. So the question isn't just, have you heard the word? The question is, how have you heard it? What kind of soil is your heart today? Because the word, it's being sown right now. The seed is good, the sower is faithful, but the harvest, well, that depends on the heart. So let me ask you, if you've never responded to the gospel, do it today. Don't let the word bounce off the surface of your heart. Receive Jesus in faith. Let his word take root. Today is the day you say, Jesus, plant your life in me. I'm done trying to do this on my own. Has your heart grown hard? Are you going through the motions? Showing up at church, but leaving God's word at the surface? Is your faith shallow? More about emotion than endurance? Does it crumble when life gets hard? Or is it crowded, full of good things that have taken the place of the very best thing? Have you welcomed the word but left it competing with the world? Or is it open, honest, and ready to receive? Are you humbly, patiently holding fast to what God says, letting it change you over time? And let me be honest, if you're feeling convicted right now, that's good soil. Hard soil doesn't care. Soil or shallow soil shrugs. Distracted soil gets the thorny soil gets distracted, but good soil says, Lord, change me. Break me up. Plant your word deep in me. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do. Jesus says in verse 18, take care then how you hear. This parable calls us to examine our hearts, not just our habits. Because the difference between fruitless and faithful isn't how many sermons you've heard or how many Bible studies you've attended. It's whether your heart is soft, honest, and surrendered before the Lord. And here's the good news. God is still sowing his word right now. So even if your heart has been hard or shallow or crowded, he's not giving up on you. Through Christ, he offers grace, renewal, transformation. The soil of your heart can change through repentance, through humility and the power of the Holy Spirit. God can break up the hard ground. He can pull out the weeds and deepen the roots. He will make you good soil. He can do it wherever you are. Let's ask the Lord of the harvest to do what only he can do. Prepare our hearts, plant his word, and bring fruit for his glory. Let's be people who don't just hear the word, but hold fast to it and by God's grace bear fruit with patience. Let's pray. Lord, make us good soil. Soften what is hard, deepen what is shallow, clear out what is choking, and help us to receive your word with honest and good hearts. Make us a people who listen well, trust deeply, and bear fruit for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.